Hi, this is Paul Marks, host and producer of Multifamily Matters. Today we're going to air the best of Multifamily Matters. It's a very educational and informative episode, so listen and enjoy the best of Multifamily Matters.
Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network and the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we have a great show with a wonderful guest who's extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing the topic of impact leadership in multifamily. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, the fabulous Gus Villegas, the Vice President of Operations with Clear Property Management. Welcome, Gus.
Paul, thank you for having me. Absolutely.
Yeah, so impact leadership and is something that, you know, in your position as a vice president, with a lot of folks that you work with and that work under your direction, is something that I think a lot of people, whether they're a leader from the standpoint of being an on-site manager or a on-site maintenance lead that has other maintenance folks working for them, or even a regional manager, it all applies, this impact management. So talk a little bit about your start in the industry, and we want to also discuss some of the leaders that made a difference in your journey.
Absolutely. So my career kicked off about 26 years ago, actually next month. So it's been a hot minute. And my complete introduction to the multifamily industry was by accident. I had leased an apartment, and it was move-in day for me. I was in the office signing my lease contract, and a gentleman walked into the office that did not speak English. He spoke Spanish, and I sat there and I translated for the leasing agent the entire way. The gentleman actually ended up leasing sight unseen based on my recommendation and my description of the property and my interactions at the office. He left to get a money order, came back in, and by the time he had come back in, the manager had stuck her head out, had heard the entire interaction, and offered me a position on the spot. I initially said no to it, you know, just not really thinking through it. You know, I had a job working in the mall retail selling sneakers, and I thought that was sufficient. So originally I had said no to them, and they came back and told me that I could be eligible for a 20% discount on my rent, and I immediately changed my tune. And then just have kind of been sucked in ever since.
Yeah. It's funny how that 20% discount helps you make.
When you're a broke college kid, it was definitely a deciding factor. That's for sure.
Absolutely, and we had a guest on the show who, and by the way, that journey is not uncommon as far as the accidental part of it. I mean, I find very few people when we talk about how they got into multifamily that ever intended to. They always seem to looking for a part-time job, and they're, you know, similar to your situation, they're living in a apartment and they were looking for a part-time leasing person. But we had a guest on the show once who told about her journey, and she was about to graduate from college with a degree in something completely unrelated to multifamily, had a job lined up, and someone said, they're looking for a part-time person on the weekend to do leasing. And she went in there, and this was a long time ago. And they offered her not only, you know, the job with the compensation, but a free apartment, a three bedroom apartment. Oh. And, she was able to, you know, she accepted the job, had the apartment, and ended up leasing out the other two bedrooms, and was making, you know, several hundred dollars a month from her friends that were her roommates. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, everybody has, you know, moves forward, but they also have setbacks. Talk a little bit about maybe some of the setbacks that you.
Sure, absolutely, especially early on, because I never really looked at it as a career. I looked at it as a placeholder until I got through school and was able to, you know, graduate and go into physical therapy school and then kind of go from there. So I never looked at it from that standpoint as something where I was actually bought in. It was a placeholder. I was doing the work. I thought I was good at it, et cetera. You know, when you're first dealt with that first setback, when a property gets transitioned out and the management company that comes in keeps you on board for a month or so and then decides to part ways with you because they've got their team that they're kind of bringing in place, you feel a little dirty, a little used. So, you know, at that point in time, I had decided that I wasn't going to go back into the industry. So I was very, very close from leaving and just focusing on school and then kind of going from there. But what ended up kind of bringing me back was I had a manager or an ownership group that reached out to me and asked me if I would be interested in interviewing for a manager position. I had just graduated. I was going to take my gap year so that I could build up my resume and apply to physical therapy school in San Marcos at the time and then do what I was supposed to do, is, you know, be a physical therapist. I interviewed in, and I was sitting there, and the asset manager for this company was grilling me. He was giving it to me pretty good. And, you know, I had no expectations. I didn't actually even expect to get it. I'd never been a property manager before and was ready to exit the industry. His supervisor came in. He said, "Are you Gus Villegas?" And I said, "Yes, sir." He's like, "Okay, you're hired." And so the asset manager kind of looked at me, and he's like, "Oh, I guess that ends the interview. Welcome aboard." And I was in San Marcos at the time at a student housing, not much older than the people that were actually my clients at the time. But I enjoyed every aspect of it. It re-energized. It brought me to life. I felt like I had a little bit of a purpose. And so my gap year turned into 2 years. 2 years turns into three. Three turns into, okay, maybe I could do this full time and make a pretty good living out of it. So from managing student housing, I set a goal for myself to become a regional manager by the time I was 30, which at the time was extremely ambitious, but I didn't know any better. I was young and hungry and felt like that's what I needed to do in order to kind of move up and become the person that I'm supposed to be. If I'm not going to be a physical therapist, by golly, I'm going to be a regional manager at the age of 30.
We got about 3 minutes left in this segment. Tell us a little bit about some of the leaders that you came across that made a difference in your
Absolutely.
Journey.
Absolutely. So early on, and actually at the first place that I ever worked at the time, she was an assistant manager, and she ended up being the property manager about a year later. She made me her assistant manager, but she took the time to actually go over everything with me and train me. And answer questions. She was firm but fair. So when I screwed up, especially as a young, you know, leasing agent and assistant manager, she absolutely called me out on it. She trained me the right way. She let me know when it was fair to push back, and kind of laid out the expectations for me. When it was time to have a difficult conversation with the resident about some fees that I had charged on the account, she made me have that conversation. She put me out of my comfort zone, but with supervision. She laid out parameters, and she allowed me to work freely within them, and I think that makes all the difference in the world when you're able to do that. Cherie Grundy, if you're out there listening, thank you so much for being patient with me as a young kid looking back at it.
With about a minute and a half left, maybe a minute left, talk a little bit about how you have used those lessons now in your career 2 decades later.
So absolutely. So the impact that she had on me is kind of built the groundwork for how I operate within my teams. And it's very important, especially now with technology, when so much is expected of you and you're putting metrics on and KPIs on absolutely everything. It's imperative that you surround yourself with people that you trust, that you enjoy working with. And if you know that you've hired good people, get out of their way. I think that makes more of a difference in, you know, learning early on that if you set the parameters and allow somebody to work independently and freely within those parameters, they're going to do the right thing 9 out of 10 times. Now, if on that 10th time when something does go wrong, you know, you use it as a learning experience. Okay, walk me through the process. How did you come to this conclusion? Looking back at it, what would you have done differently? And, you know, it's question-based leadership at its best. And allowing people when they come in to ask for a solution to ask them to walk you through what they think needs to happen. I think, you know, Cherie did a good job of kind of helping me learn that model and that method, and it's worked wonders for me.
Well, before we break, I just want to say I can't think of anything more difficult than starting out managing a student housing project. It's such a different animal than market rate
is.
Conventional. So anyway, but we're going to break it here. We're going to be back right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Is your multifamily property still on clunky mechanical locks or managing multiple systems for electronic locks? There's a better way to manage your property's access. Zintra is a single system to manage unit, perimeter, and amenity spaces for your multifamily property. Zintra is designed for property and maintenance staff who are overwhelmed and need a system that works from the leasing office to on the go with the Zintra mobile app. Whether you're a leasing agent handling a move-in, a property manager generating reports, or maintenance staff accessing a work order, Zintra will handle your access needs simply and securely. Zintra is paired with Schlage's world-class line of hardware and is now the first to be able to offer Resident Key in Apple Wallet as a solution for tap-and-go entry to all access points on your property with an iPhone or Apple Watch. With Zintra, you don't have to sacrifice between a world-class experience for your residents and decreasing the workload on your staff. Zintra is quick, simple, and secure enough to handle all your multifamily property's access needs. To get started, visit Zintra.co, Zentra.co, Zintra.co, or contact your Allegion representative.
Control by Net provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control by Net only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network, and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of impact leadership in multifamily. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, the amazing Gus Viegas, the Vice President of Operations with Clear Property Management. I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to the archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Gus, in the first segment, we talked a little bit about how you got into the industry by accident and some of the setbacks that you had, as well as some of the leaders or a leader specifically that kind of indoctrinated you into the industry. Let's talk in this segment about how you've evolved as a leader, and talk about some of those things that you've seen that that have made you the person you are today.
No, absolutely, and I'll walk you through some of the life and times in student housing, and the same owner that of the company from the asset management group that offered me the job also gave me a wake up call, and it didn't feel great. I knew that I was going to make a hustle mistakes, and you know, when you're going 90 miles an hour at all time, that's going to happen from time to time. They were based out of Austin. I was operating in San Marcos, about a half hour away, and they scheduled the time to visit. I knew that the property needed to look as good as it possibly could. We were in between color changes. We had two budgeted for the year, I think, and you know, the flowers looked shabby. So rather than replacing the flowers, knowing that I'd have to do it in a couple of months, I had them all pulled and I laid mulch down. He came and he toured, and that was the one thing, unbeknownst to me, that he was going to be stringent upon. He, in his eyes, it was a Class A asset, and it needed to look, you know, spectacular at all times. It was curb appeal, and it was the first, you know, input that everyone was going to see. It's going to be parents, it's going to be students, it's going to be anybody that is going to be decision makers, and you know, the property could never look like that again. So the asset manager had sent the email before, and he's like, oh, okay, you know, the site went well. These are some things that you need to kind of focus on. And he gave it to me gently. And then Steve Eller, if he's listening, he's Falcon Southwest, is the group. He chimed in, and he was like, you know, Jason Shaw is being being kind here. This is the worst the property has ever looked. The front of the asset can never look like this again. I don't care if it's your budgeted two. If you need a third, you need to make me say no. And understood. And I made it my mission at that point in time to not disappoint him, because I respected this man, and he was good at what he does. And this is his asset. This is, you know, how he makes his living, and he wants it to be a reflection of him. And by extension, I was a reflection of him. So I carried myself in that way, and I made it a point to make sure that the front of the asset was always looking good at all times, and learned a valuable lesson that if you being the first person on site that sees the asset every day, you know better than anybody what that asset needs. And if you have two color changes budgeted and you absolutely think that you need a third one in between that to kind of carry you on from one place to or from one time to another, you ask for it. Ownership group may say no. So now if they say no, they can't complain about it. And that was probably one of the lessons early on that kind of carried me through it. And now it's impacted the way I do it. I'll tell my site staff all the time, if you see something going on, raise your hand up, go to your regional manager. If you don't get the response that you think you need, make sure it goes up even further. My door is always open, and all of my site staffs, even though there's regional managers that they go to, they know that they can reach out to me if they have any issues or concerns that they think aren't being taken care of. Even if it's just to say hi or just to chat for a minute, it's always good to feel appreciated and have that policy in place that makes everybody feel safe.
We've got about 6 minutes left in this segment. Talk a little bit about have you ever had burnout or have you felt burned out that you needed to regroup?
So, yes, I'm going to go back to let's rewind about 4 years. So 4 years ago, I was helping a really good friend of mine, Lindsay Haynes, kind of launch her new startup company, Metric Property Management. And I went into work with her, and it was going to be something that we were going to build together and be super ecstatic. But I wasn't prepared at this point in my life to work those, you know, 80-hour weeks. Had I been, you know, earlier on in the early 30s, that probably would have been a no-brainer, and I would have, you know, knocked it out of the park. And it did get to the point. It was a small company, so me and her, basically, you're the regional manager, you're the asset manager, you're the legal department, you're HR, you're training, you're wearing all hats. You're building out the systems and parameters and kind of evolving as you're moving forward. And I got to the point to where I was burnt out. I again consider possibly leaving the industry, but shifted gears a little bit. I actually pivoted and went to the supplier side, the dark side, if you will. Served as the director of sales and client services for a general contractor here in town, Infinite Capital Construction. I absolutely enjoyed the people there and enjoyed working there. It was 3 years. It wasn't going to be a place where I was going to do it for an extended period of time. But ultimately I missed the chaos of multifamily. So here I am. I'm back in the throes of things and re-energize.
Talk a little bit. We've got about 3 minutes left. Talk a little bit about, as far as your evolution, how you've learned to empower others, under your direction.
Absolutely. So the things that I didn't do early on was fully listen to people as they were kind of coming with problems or concerns. I think early on I was more focused on trying to solve the problem myself as opposed to educating and helping learn and teaching lessons to the individuals that you're surrounding yourself with. There's always growing moments that are made that happened in those interactions, and I think I robbed some people early on in my career of having that ability to actually get better at their craft, at their skills, to build those additional things to put them out of their comfort zone when it was just easier in my head for me to do it better. I wasn't doing them any favors, and I actually wasn't doing myself any favors. That has slowly started kind of, at changing over the years, leading up to kind of where I'm at now. And I think what kind of put me in a position to help interact better with all walks of life was I started to get involved with the Austin Apartment Association here, as a volunteer organization where you're kind of in, and we're not employees, we're all volunteers, so you're going to be interacting with all walks of life, on-site staff, corporate level staff, et cetera, and they're all volunteers, different dynamics, different personality types, that you're going to be interacting with and involved in trying to solve problems together. So that actually probably started the evolution of kind of where I made it my job to adapt to how my employees learn as much as it is for my employees to learn how I like to do things. It's a give and take, and I think it's a good dance that goes well when it's done.
All right. Well, we are going to break it here. We are going to be back right after these messages with our next segment. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
Application fraud in multifamily is a major challenge we're all contending with today, and the risk is ever increasing, making it more important than ever to strive for driving delinquency to 0%. If you could eliminate the worst form of application fraud with just a few clicks, you would, right? With PayScore, accuracy is everything. By automating income verification, they deliver clear, concise, and 100% bank-verified income reports in minutes. No more doubts, delays, or fraud. Just the truth about applicant income. PayScore. Accurate, easy, safe. Visit PayScore.com and start verifying with confidence. PayScore. Click, verify, relax.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network, and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. We're discussing the topic of impact leadership in multifamily. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, the fantastic Gus Viegas, the Vice President of Operations with Clear Property Management. I do want to take a moment and thank some of our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. REV, the leasing management company. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Zentra, a seamless security solution designed to solve the everyday problems of shared property access. Zentra is the convergence of exceptional security and convenience. PayScore, learn the truth about applicant income. So, Gus, in the last segment, we talked a little bit about kind of how you have evolved as a leader after your introduction of the industry by accident a couple of decades ago. And you mentioned in the last segment about how you got involved with the local apartment association. Talk a little bit more about the importance of association involvement.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you say it out loud, a couple of decades, that just seems surreal to me. But it's very, very accurate, almost 3 decades now. No, local apartment association, I think my early involvement with them was really just showing up to the social events. You know, as a younger individual at the time, it was, you know, going to the trade shows, going to the happy hours, the fundraiser for the food drives, et cetera. And I became the individual that was just showing up and was being present and being visible. And unbeknownst to me, the wonderful Kristen Arona at the time, who was executive vice president over the board, I caught her eye. She introduced herself. We had a pleasant conversation. And, you know, fast forward a year later from that standpoint, I got a phone call asking if I'd be interested in joining the board, the local board at the Austin Apartment Association. Their main objective was to try to get as many management companies involved and be represented on the board. I worked for United Apartment Group at the time, and we didn't have a huge presence. I think we had 5 or 6 properties. We were bigger in San Antonio drastically. But, you know, I was ecstatic, excited, but I didn't know how my employer would feel about it. So I reached out to them, had the conversation with them. I was like, hey, I was approached with this opportunity. Is that something that you guys would be okay with? You know, the time commitment as a board member isn't as extreme as when you start moving up the ladder, but I still wanted to make sure that I had their buy-in. It was a board meeting and an occasional other thing per month, so it wasn't very much from that standpoint that it was going to be required of me. They said yes. They said just make sure that, you know, you're still completing your work and, you know, allowing it to be a distraction. And, you know, I took that to heart. I remember vividly attending my first board meeting, you know, never having any experience with it, not knowing much of, you know, Robert's Rules of Order and the policies that are in place, and and all the procedural red tape that you kind of have to go through to get this. So my first board meeting, it was myself and at the time Gina Barnes were the newbies, and we kind of just looked at each other. We knew we were the new kids on the block, and just watching all the interaction go back and forth, and it's intimidating. You're sitting there with people that have been in the industry for decades, and you know, you're the young guy in the room. It's been a while since I've been able to say that, but early on you kind of learn by watching, and then second, third, you start asking questions. You raise your hand. You throw out that motion. You second the motion. It's empowering. It's fun. It's exciting. It's all of that at a time. I think it taught me a lot early on. And, you know, not knowing that I was going to be doing this long term, I knew that I had 3 years on the board. That was the term that I was outlined for. And if you do everything correctly and you're participating, chances are you're going to get asked back for a second term. So that gives you 6 years. If you do well in that time frame, then you can move up potentially to the executive committee, which is a VP at large. And then the evolution would go secretary treasurer, president-elect, and then president, and then immediate past president. So it's quite a bit of a commitment. You're looking at, in most cases, a decade, proving yourself and showing up and being present and being able to participate before you're able to get into that higher visibility role. I kind of got thrown into a situation where we had an issue with a person in the executive committee that was unable to, for whatever reason, move up in the position, and it kind of threw everything out of whack. So that lineage, that lineup that they had, that they were ready to kind of move forward with to kind of outline the trajectory of the apartment association for, you know, the next 5 years. Every year you're kind of looking at that next evolution and who's next up. It kind of threw a wrench in the works. I had been active. I had been participating. I had been asking questions. I wasn't afraid to kind of be vocal when needed in those meetings. I was asked if I would consider giving up my third year on the board and leapfrogging into the executive committee, not as a VP at large, but as a secretary treasurer. So it kind of thrust me into a role that I never, ever envisioned. It was just daunting to me at the time. You know, sitting in the room where you've got people that I consider to be legends in the industry, the Kim McGregors, you've got the Sarah Thompson, you've got the Colleen Grons of the world, the Brooke Mahoney's that was present at the time when I came on board. And I just felt like I couldn't be at their level. But here I am in the secretary treasurer role, and I feel it. I do my job. I execute what needs to happen. And along the way, I get asked, it's like, okay, well, you know, you've done this. In order for you to be considered for president, or you need to, you know, lead the legislative committee. So I ended up doing that for 2 years while I was secretary treasurer, and then while I was put into as the president-elect. And as you become the president-elect, you're kind of in the shadow. You start getting to peek behind the curtain and see what's going on. Your involvement magnifies. And then the following year as president, you're the focus. You are the face of the organization. I grew as an individual. I grew as a leader. It helped me overcome probably my biggest fear, which is public speaking, and just getting in front of people. I over-prepared when I had to do my radio interviews, my phone interviews, and the in-person ones, which were nerve-wracking. I can recall being on stage. We had a mission, I think, at the time. President Obama had made it a priority to try to eliminate veteran homelessness. So that was an initiative that was big. And the mayor at the time, Adler in Austin, made it his mission to try to make that a reality. And, you know, that involved getting the apartment association involved. So we did a whirlwind tour. It was the most nerve-wracking episode I had ever done. I was doing a live interview on the news with the mayor's aide, first in command over there. And I can recall them focusing from the waist up as I was sitting down and my foot just going 90 miles an hour on that bench. I don't think you could see it shaking, but I was extremely nervous doing that. But I survived, and it, again, put me out of my comfort zone and helped me grow. The apartment association as a whole does a really good job of putting you in positions to be successful. They know that if you're moving up there, it's a team sport. They're going to do some of the research for you, give you your speaking points, and then kind of help you practice and rehearse and get ready to do all those things. It's a commitment, but you get out of your participation what you put into it. It put me in a very front-forward-facing position and put me in an area where, you know, the next 10 years, I was working for companies where I didn't even need to interview. It's the power of networking when you're offered jobs, when your name comes up in conversation as somebody to kind of keep an eye on and look forward to. And I, you know, will never take that for granted at all.
We've got a couple of minutes left. One of the things that you said about when you went to your employer and asked them if they were to get their buy-in, if they were okay when you were asked to serve on the board. And one of the things that that I've heard from different people in the industry about companies not letting their employees participate in associations, whether it's just to attend events or whether it is to serve in some type of capacity, is that they're afraid that someone's going to try and steal their employees. And to me, that's kind of a backwards way of thinking, because if you run risk of losing your employees because they attend an event, then right, you're not doing a very good job of trying to keep them. Did you ever run across that? Yeah, I mean, have you run across that with any of the folks you know that have been wanting to get into the association involvement and they couldn't because of that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it happens more frequently than you think. On the site level, it's already a little more difficult to kind of get buy-in from ownership group when they're trying to budget in advance for participation, because the events aren't always free. Some of them do come. You've got classes that they offer, et cetera. You got some owners that look at it as a line item. So when they see it and they see education, although don't you have a training department? Why do you need to, budget, $200 for a class in April or whatnot? Why do you need a CAN designation? There's just not an importance kind of put on it. And I'm more of a fan of training your people right. And you want to train them to where, if they left and they went somewhere else, it would be super successful. And I think the alternative is that you don't train them and they stay put and they continue to do subpar work. I think when you come into an organization, you kind of analyze and you kind of see what the floor level is, and then it's just about raising the bar for everyone across the board, empowering them to get better. And if that means, maybe nudging them to take an Excel class that's offered by the Apartment Association, why wouldn't you do that? I think it's a no-brainer. But you're right, I have heard of management companies that won't allow their employees to participate in maintenance-only events for fear that they're going to get poached by other management companies while they're there.
All right, well, we're going to break it here. We are going to be back with our final segment of this episode right after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Control Ynet provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control Ynet only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit. Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and AppFolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Elevate your apartment game with Multi-Housing News and their exclusive newsletters. MHN is the leading integrated resource for people and companies that own, invest in, develop, manage, and/or market multifamily real estate. Join the thousands of real estate professionals who trust MHN in their daily, weekly, and bi-monthly newsletters to keep them informed and inspired with property management trends, news, podcasts, and more. Find out more information at multihousingnews.com/subscriptions.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
We are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of impact leadership in multifamily. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, the awesome Gus Villegas, the Vice President of Operations with Clear Property Management. I do want to take a moment and thank our other sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. Balanced Asset Solutions, CPAs with expertise in multifamily property management. DirecTV, the ultimate entertainment experience, is now available to all multifamily residents. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry. And CTS, Complete Technology Solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Gus, we talked a little bit, we talked in the last segment about involvement in associations. Let's talk about some of the lasting relationships that you've had, their impact on you. Talk about those.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you know, it goes both ways. You learn after the fact that you've had an impact on individuals as well. So I love hearing those stories just as much. While I was on the supplier side, we worked a trade show for Graystar, and while I was there, a young man approached me and he's like, "Hey, you probably don't remember me." And he was right. I didn't remember him at the time until we started speaking. He was actually at the time working for me as a porter on the outside of the maintenance side of things. But he had the absolute best personality. I loved interacting with him. Loved his energy. And I asked him if he ever thought about getting into leasing. Kind of moving him in there, and we needed to fill a spot, and I thought it was going to be difficult to find a leasing agent. We had somebody in house that I thought would do a decent job. He ended up coming in, and he was a natural, but he approached me about it, and the comment that he made to me was, he's like, whether you know it or not, you changed mine and my family's life. And it kind of hit me in the feels, you know, when you hear stuff like that, you know, not realizing that a little thing, what you think is a little thing at the time, ends up being monumental for someone else, changing their mindset and kind of how they move forward. The individuals for me that have kind of helped me navigate all of this have been the people that I could reach out to over and over again, you know, for any reason whatsoever. Cherie's on that list. I have an employer that I worked for in the past, Beth Sickler, over Merge Management, that if I had any question whatsoever that I could reach out to her. I can bounce an idea off of her. It's like, hey, do you have a recommendation for such and such? Hey, I have a unique situation. What would you do in this instance? This is what I'm thinking. Am I going in the right track? And multifamily is a very, very, very small industry. I mean, it's not you don't want to burn a bridge, number one. But number two, if you do right by an employer, you do your best while you're working there, those relationships will continue on for as long as you allow them to. And I don't look at it when I change jobs as, you know, leaving a family. I look at it as expanding the family tree. The individuals that I enjoy working with, that bring the energy, that you can see talent in, you're going to stay in contact with those individuals. It's fun. Last week at the trade show that the Austin Apartment Association had, I was approached by two old managers who came up and you gave me the biggest hug. I hadn't talked to them in probably 3 years or so. And it just felt good to see them. It's that energy and that feeling, knowing that you made an impact to where they're not going out of their way to ignore you. They're going out of their way to come see you and interact with you. For me, some of the supplier friends that I have that, I think I could go to for anything, for professional advice, for, you know, how to navigate specific things, especially me being new to supplier side a couple of years ago. Josh Nichols, who's with Guardian Construction, who, by the way, if you haven't had him on your podcast, he's a great interview as well. Interesting young man. He's got a great story, and he's one of those individuals that almost fell through the cracks. I enjoy interacting with him, and I always look at it when you're thinking of people for committees and whatnot. Okay, the individuals that you're bringing on board, you know, do they pass the airport layover test? If you, you know, were in the airport and you were stuck with this individual and you had a delayed flight and you had to spend an hour with them, would you dread the time or would you enjoy it? Josh is one of those individuals that I would absolutely enjoy spending in time with from that standpoint. But at the time during my presidential year, unbeknownst to me, he was having one of those moments where he almost left the industry. And to hear him kind of tell the story and kind of go through that, it's surreal. He had been overlooked on more than one occasion for positions with the association. If you don't know Josh and you're interacting with him for the first time, you may think that he's brass, that he's a little abrasive. You know, he'd be the first to admit that he's not everybody's cup of tea, and that's okay. But he brought the energy, he had the spirit, he was very engaging. And I asked him to head up our next generation committee, him and another individual. And it, according to him, it changed his trajectory. It went from him leaving the industry to him getting re-energized and kind of getting back into it. And I didn't know that until recently. And the story just stuck with me. I just always fight Josh and kind of the interactions that we had. Another story, another person that I interact with genuinely is Lindsay Haynes, who is at Metric Property Management. I actually hired her for her Hearst manager, on-site manager position. Fast forward, you know, 20 years later, and she's opening up her own company that I go to work for. So the table's kind of turned, and it's those lasting relationships to where when you just meet somebody that just gets it. There's no other way to explain it other than they just understand it, they just get it. And Lindsay was that individual that was always thirsty for knowledge, that always wanted to absorb, you know, work for a company where she's like, you know what, I could do this. I could do this. And she has. They've been open now for about 6 years or so, and no signs of slowing down anytime soon. And those are the kind of interactions that you have when you open yourself up to people, and you're empowering them, and you're kind of bringing them up with you. they tend to be the individuals that stick around and stay in your life for longer periods of time.
All right, we've got about 3 minutes left. I want to hear a little bit about clear property management. Also, how someone can reach out to you if they want to connect with you. What's the best way to do that?
Absolutely. So clear property management, I have never been surrounded with individuals that are this passionate about what they do. When you look at the portfolio size, we're not a very big company. We've got 2,400 units or so that are a combination of owner-managed and fee-managed that we oversee. But we're structured as such that we've got a support team in place that would rival companies that were, three times larger than us. And it works. We've got a director of construction. We've got Carrie Hall, who has been on your podcast previously as well, who does our marketing. We've got Marina, who's our director of leasing. We've got Kat, that's our back-end support specialist that, I like to joke with her that she's basically queen of the universe. She does a little bit of everything here and knows the inner workings of everything that is clear. They've embraced me, and I will never take that for granted and kind of how I interact over there. But the culture here is something different than I've ever experienced anywhere else. And it's one of those places to where, when you're brought in, you know that you're going to have challenges and whatnot. But it's the way that those challenges are communicated to you. You're not, I felt heard. I felt like my voice, that was being listened to, that if I saw something that could be improved upon, it was like, okay, show me what you can do. It wasn't, the same old, we've been doing it for 10 years, why do we need to change type of mentality. It was, if we're going to make a change, let's make sure that it's a change that's impactful, that's going to affect the organization. We do book clubs where we get together, we read on our own outside of work, and then while we're doing the book reviews, we'll go in there and we'll have open discussions about kind of how the impact of it is. And that's one of those things that starts at the top. You've got Monty Lee Nguyen and you've got Laura Klein that kind of oversee the organization as a whole. And you can feel their buy-in. You can feel that it's real. It's not just speak. It's not something that they're saying just to say it and hoping that it filters down. They actually are bought in, and it's so much easier to buy into an organization when you can feel it radiating from the top down.
And if someone wants to reach out to you, what's the best way to do that?
Absolutely. So my email here at Clear is gus.villegas, V-I-L-L-E-G-A-S, at clearpm.com. And then on LinkedIn, just Gus Villegas. I recently was challenged by Chelsea Nealon to start contributing to LinkedIn on a regular basis. And I've got my little shtick that I do. I've got my M&M Mondays that I post on daily, and then Tupac Tuesday that I post on weekly for each individual day, that have kind of evolved, and it kind of gives you a mindset and a point of reference. By no means am I an expert in multifamily, but I know what's worked for me in the past.
All right. Well, Gus, thank you so much for being on the show. Love to have you back again. Have some great stories that you shared for our listeners. I know they're going to enjoy them and learn from those lessons that you had weaved into the story. So we're going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.